Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We would like to welcome everyone to CPFL Energia's third quarter of 2016 earnings conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. André Dorf, CEO of the company, Mr. Gustavo Estrella, CFO of the CPFL Energia, and other officers of the company. We would like to inform you that this call is being broadcast simultaneously on the internet at www.cpfl.com.br/investorrelations, where you can also find the presentation for download purposes. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the presentation, there will be a question and answer session when further instructions will be given for you to participate. Should any participant need assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. I would like to mention that this call is being recorded. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of CPFL Energia's management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they relate to future events, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of CPFL Energia and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, we would like to turn the conference over to Mr. André Dorf. Mr. Dorf, you have the floor.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to another CPFL Energia earnings conference call, now talking about the third quarter of the year. As usually, we have a short presentation, and afterwards, we will be available to you to answer questions that you might have. Starting on page number three, we give you some highlights for the quarter. We saw a reduction in the load measured in our concession area by 2.3%, and we will be going into details about that a little bit later, and we will be mentioning the segments that dropped. The contracted demand was preserved in the free market clients, 0.6% off peak and 1.3% peak, a reduction of 5.6% in net revenues, and at the same time, we posted an increase of 2% in our EBITDA. Besides, during this period, we had a tariff adjustment of Piratininga in October with an average effect of -24% as perceived by consumers, and the B parcel that impacts our results was adjusted by 9.6% at the same time. The CVA balance was very positive as well. We went from a sectoral financial asset of 170 million to a sectoral financial liability of 388 million, more cash effect. Investment in the period of 649 million, split into distribution and renewable generation mostly. Our net debt amounted to 11.4 billion at the end of the period and the leverage of 3.07 times. We continue decreasing our leverage, reaching almost 3 times, which is an adequate level for the growth pace of the company. During this period, there was a commercial startup of many turbines in the Campos dos Ventos and São Benedito wind farms, 174 megawatts installed, and total 230 will be installed by the end of the year. We also saw the beginning of CPFL's management over RGE Sul, a transaction that was announced about 4 months ago. We had the closing of this deal, and our team took over management of RGE Sul, and we were extremely pleased and very well impressed with the quality of the team and also with the integration of the operations, and no hiccups on the way in all areas. Also during this period, we had the announcements of the decision of Privi and Bonet announcing the sale of their stake to State Grid, and Camargo had already talked or mentioned their desire to sell their stake, and this offering was extended to the other controlling shareholders, so they decided to agree and to adhere. And from the sectoral viewpoint, we had the provisional measure number 735 dealing with many different points in different segments of the power sector. So there's an array of measures that was approved by the lower and the upper houses is subject to the presidential approval and will bring opportunities to the agents in the sector. On page 4, we have a macro view of our cash generation measured by the company's EBITDA in Q3. We had a total EBITDA of $985 million in the period, distributed with distribution accounting for almost 40%, conventional generation 35%, participation in CPFL Renováveis 18%, and commercialization and services 8%. If we analyze segment by segment, starting on the upper part, on the upper right, we see a drop of cash generation, very much because of the drop in the load in our concession areas, and also an increase in collections, and also losses in the period. I would like to remind you that we also had an increase in the allowance for doubtful accounts, vis-a-vis our average, our historical average, but this is totally offset by increases in our financial results and the lines of fines and interest. In conventional generation, no extraordinary items here. You can see an increase of 4.7% in the quarter on quarter, which is because of price adjustments in our contract. In renewable generation, likewise, we saw the price adjustments and better conditions regarding wind and also the startup of some projects. On the left, trading and services, although the amount is lower than the others, the variation is important. And we had a one-off here, which was an indemnification that accounts for about half of this variation. It has to do with the contract. And on page number 5, we talk about distribution. As I said before, about the highlights, we saw a decrease in the load in our concession area, as you can see on the upper right of the slide, a 2.3% decrease, a more substantial decrease in the captive market, the free market accounting for an increase, whereas the captive market has a reduction of about 4%, partially explained by the migration of clients. On the lower part of the slide, we saw a drop in sales, and I would like to tell you that there is a gap here between our billing and the load measured, and again, the captive market representing the total drop that we had in the concession area. In the middle, you can see sales by consumption segment. So the totals are the same. However, here we show you the breakdown per class of consumption. We can see here that the industrial segment was the one that had the highest impact for the negative variation in the period. And I would like to add a remark here. In one of our discos, we had one specific client of the steel sector that reduced consumption extensively during this period. So if we were to exclude this client specifically, the drop instead of 4.9 would have been 1.4. On the upper left, we see the deceleration of the growth of new connections, and this is an indicator that we always measure. So we had almost 3% in the third quarter of 2015, whereas now we had less than 2% in this quarter as a consequence of the macroeconomic conditions. In terms of losses, we had 8.32 losses in the third quarter of 15, and we saw an increase in the second quarter going up to 9%, and we continue at this level, slightly below 9% in the third quarter of 16. This is partially explained by the change in the market mix, as the industrial clients are reducing their consumption, and because of that, we see a bigger weight of low voltage here and also a higher number of disconnections that generate higher losses in the period. On the next slide, we talk about delinquency in the distribution sector. We start on the upper left with the evolution of our ADA, our allowance for doubtful accounts. And although we see a slight relief in the quarter, we still consider that it's a little bit too early to say that this means a recovery. We still have the macroeconomic situations and employment situation, income situation with a major impact on our consumers, our customers. So in spite of this small relief, we do not believe this is a sustainable recovery sign. On the right, we see our collection actions. And the main one is the disconnection in the third quarter of 16. We had 340,000 disconnections in the quarter. Relatively stable vis-a-vis the previous quarters, but much higher than what we had a few quarters back. On the lower part of the slide, we show you the total past due bills as a percentage of revenues, and I will concentrate on the left part. So we saw an increase of about 0.80% on average to 1% average, but apparently more stable. So in this case, we can already see a certain stability in the last few months. Let's turn to page number 7. Where we turn our attention to generation. The highlights for the period are the fact that, again, we have an unfavorable hydrological situation and now concentrated in the north and the northeast regions. And if we look on the lower right, this is what draws our attention, which is the level of our reservoirs in the northeast as a percentage of the maximum capacity. And this is where we see 10% in the northeast. We also had the startup of 174 megawatts up to November from two wind farms that should be bringing about 231 megawatts installed by December. GSF had a much lower impact, not material for the quarter, 4 million vis-a-vis 53 million in the third quarter of 15, and our remaining exposure to GSF is only 12% of the company's hydro capacity. Of our installed capacity on the right, you can see 63% of large power plants, hydropower plants, followed by wind, 18%, and then biomass, SPPs, and TPPs, with about 6% each one of them. Now, I would like to turn the floor over to Gustavo Estrella, so that he may talk about the results. He's the CFO of our group. On page 8, we have our results already reported and in the format that we always publish in the IFRS and managerial as well. We make some adjustments, especially the consolidation of our generation companies and also the exchange rate variation vis-a-vis some non-recurrent effects. As you can see on the lower part of the slide, the adjustments of the third quarter of 16 are basically consolidation, proportional consolidation, and the Itaipu currency variation in 2015. In the third quarter, we had the adjustment in the GSF as well, and we exclude this now in order to be able to compare the two results. So If you look at the managerial results, you can see a drop in the net revenue of 5.6% of 253 million reals. And basically, what explained this reduction in revenues is the effect of the reduction of the regulatory asset. And as we saw, it became a liability and has an impact on our net revenue. And as a perspective for the net revenue, the impact of tariff reductions, future tariff reductions, should continue to make the revenues of the company drop in the next few quarters. This does not affect the EBITDA, because we saw that the effects have to do with Parcel A items, and we see a growth of 2% in the EBITDA, or 20 million reals, in the comparison with 2015. And also here, it is important to mention the effect on the net income, with a drop of 24.8%, or 77 million reals, and this is concentrated on two effects. The first is the adjustment of the financial asset of the Piratininga concession, and the adjustments was carried out in the third quarter of 15 when the company had a tariff review. So we have to make this adjustment according to the regulator's rules. And at the time, it had a positive effect of 70 million reals in the Piratininga result. And of course, this is a one-off, non-recurrent effect, and it affects 2015. However, it does not affect 2016. And another effect that happens in 2016 is merely accounting. The impact of the marking to market of our debt of 4131, our debt, dollar-denominated debt. And so we only mark the market in this quarter. And in a comparison with 2015, this is a negative variation of 77 million reals. Once again, it's just a book effect, because in the year-to-date of 9 months, the effect of the mark-to-market up to September is 1 million reals. Again, this is an effect that is offset over the next few quarters. Let's talk about slide number 9 here, with the main variations in our results. When we look at the variation of the EBITDA, the variation of 20 million reals, the most of that comes from the commercialization business and the service business, with a positive variation of 43 million reals. And the biggest variation here is revenue from indemnity from contracts. And Brazil buys energy in these contracts, and there was a delay in the startup and basically in the transmission lines. And for the commercialization company, this has a positive effect of 22 million reals in indemnity. And another important highlight is the fact that part of our strategic long-term plan is to strengthen our business in services. And we see already an increase in the results of PFL services of 10 million reals, basically maintenance, transmission, and distribution businesses with 10 million reals, and also an increase in results coming from our IT company with a positive result of 5 million reals. In conventional generation, this is basically the transfer of the inflation items of our contract. So we saw the same positive impact on the adjustment of Parcel B. Piratininga also happens in the same proportion in the generation contract, that is to say the transfer of the inflation items. And this is what explained the increase in results of generation of 2016 vis-a-vis 2015. In CPFL Renováveis, there is an important effect of the coming on stream of new projects, mainly the wind, and that brings positive effect of increase in our results, and also the Mata Velha SPP with a positive EBITDA for the group. And in a comparison with 2015, we had 2015 as a very negative year vis-a-vis wind, and we see an improvement here in 2016 regarding this year, and therefore we see an increase of almost 18% in results only from wind energy. For distribution, a negative effect of 54 million reals. And basically, and Andrea has already talked about it, it has to do with the performance of our loads in the concession area, and the impact that we have in the market is basically based on the drop of commercial consumption mainly, and also residential consumption. I would like to remind you that the effect of this drop in industrial consumption does not affect our result there because of the demand contracts that were not reduced. So the effect that you have is based on the low voltage market performance, and we have already shown an increase in expenses because of collection actions, and especially our disconnections. Once again, we showed an increase in the number of disconnections or cuts vis-a-vis the previous quarters, which brings about additional costs to the company in this quarter of about 15 million reals. And another effect, 32 million reals, has to do basically with the refund of extraordinary gains of Parcel A. And we talked about these impacts in the first quarter of 2016, where we had a positive effect on our results in this quarter. And because of the calendar of our reading and the way we post and account for revenues, we already had an expectation of refund of part of these extraordinary gains over these months, and this is what is going on right now. And year-to-date, it is neutered because of this effect. And there is another effect, which is the increase in losses in the comparison quarter-on-quarter from 8.3 to 8.9, and this also has an impact for this quarter. And when we talk about the effects of our net income, these are one-off, they are non-recurrent. And because of that, we are delivering lower net income, but this is not recurrent. Slide number 10. Once again, we consolidate our leverage position close to 3 times. We had already reported at 3.10 leverage and now 3.07. And of course, the expectation of leverage reduction that we presented in the second quarter was what guided the company in terms of acquiring Ecosul, and where we had the necessary room in our balance sheet to make this acquisition. So not considering yet the effect of the consolidation of the new asset, but this leverage, as you can see, is below 3.10. Our debt profile is maintained practically stable between CDI, long-term interest rate, and prefixed debt. You can see that we have a lot in CDI. And regarding the cost of our debt, the outlook is very much related to the attempts to reduce the CDI over the next few months. But in the short run, what we see is an evolution of the nominal cost of our debt because of the increases that we saw in the last few quarters in the CDI rate. On slide 11, we show our debt amortization schedule. Once again, a very strong cash position, and we keep repeating this. This is a top priority on the part of the company to preserve our liquidity as a group. So we have a cash balance of 5.2 billion reals, totally funded, and all maturities up to 2017. And of course, our challenge here has to do with the debts for 2018, which is already known by you. We look at the market and with some alternatives of financial instruments or refinancing of the debt for 2015 with some debentures, incentivized debentures, and so that we may once again refinance this, these maturities for 2018 and 2019 as well. On slide 12, let's talk about growth. All our projects in CPFL Renováveis. So we already have the projects for the wind farms, Campos do Vento and São Benedito. Already up to the end of this year, we will have 100% of the wind farm already in commercial startup. The Pedra Cedro, the wind farms over 2018, and the Boa Vista HPP for 2020. All of them are being discussed with the BNDES. In the case of Campos dos Ventos and São Benedito, UBS has already approved the financing, and for Pedra Chorosa and from Boa Vista, they are being analyzed. On page 13, I believe that the highlight is the startup of RGE South or Sul at the beginning of this month. As Andres said, the most important point here is very positive because we have a very good impression of the beginning of the operation, be it because of the headcount, and a lot of collaboration, people who know the company in depth, and also very strong in terms of processes and systems. So the process of integration starts with the assets of CPFL Energia, with a very positive outlook regarding this integration. And I believe we should also highlight our process for restructuring of Jigsu. It was a very expensive one, a very expensive debt, and we have already renegotiated 100% of this debt to 114.5% cost of the CDI, still with a term of 4 years. And now with a different profile and much more adequate for this specific asset. So our expectation is that during this process of integration, well, that it will come to a close by the end of the year, and our outlook for that is very positive regarding the integration of this new asset. And on slide 14, we talk about the State Grid transaction. The transaction is developing according to our expectations. So the proposal was, the SP signature was in September, and the approval by the CADE happened already in September. So the expectation is the approval by ANEEL so that we may go ahead with the closing of this transaction over the next few months. And lastly, the performance of our shares. Of course, the performance of our shares has a very strict correlation with the offering by State Grid. So 17.9% in the third quarter, reflecting this new outlook with the proposal submitted by State Grid, and also the increase in the volume traded from 39 to 59.4 billion reals, and also with a similar performance in the New York Stock Exchange. So the presentation has come to an end. So now we will open for questions from the audience. Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. In order to ask a question, please press star 1. In order to remove your question from the queue, please press star 2.
Once again, if there are any questions, please press star 1. We now conclude the Q&A session, and I would like to take the floor back to Mr. André Dorf for his final remarks. So we are now at the end of 2016. This has been a very intense year. We've experienced many changes in the political environment of the country, in the power market, and also in the company itself. I would also like to mention that in the first 3 quarters, the division of RGE Sul, the transaction was concluded. We are now, betting in the new efforts of the company in terms of commercialization as well. Therefore, this has been a very good year to all of us at CPFL. And I would also highlight that our team is quite motivated and totally engaged with the company's strategy. So with no further ado, I would like to thank you very much for participating in this call, and have a good day. Thank you. CPFL's audio conference is now concluded. We would like to thank you all for participating and have a good afternoon.